So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God.
Well, we've been, that song that we sung, it was opening our eyes to the glory and the splendor and the majesty of our God. And we sing verses like that, and we, how awesome, how glorious, how radiant is the Lord. But there's a real challenge, isn't there, in these verses, because that radiance, that glory, that shining of the Lord is to be reflected through our lives. We are to be displaying the glory and the radiance of the Lord. And that's something we've been learning as we've been working our way through the Epistle of Ephesians, learning more about God's purpose for his church, that we would exist for the praise of God's glory, that we would do the good works which God has prepared in advance for us to do. This makes us shine as we do the good works he calls us to do, that we would make known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, the angelic beings, angels, also fallen angels as well, the multi-splendored wisdom of God. And that we would become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's one of the high level marks for our Christian experience. As far as our purpose is concerned, is that we would resemble the Lord Jesus and how he sparkled. And often most so in the steps down that he was prepared to take, there was that greater radiance, his humility, his submission, his suffering that he endured. Great, he was the Lord God, and yet he was willing to stoop so low for us, and how beautifully he did so. So God wants us We learned last week that great purpose that we would resemble the Lord Jesus. We would be mature, grow up in our knowledge of him, in our resembling of the Lord Jesus in our lives. Well, today in our reading that we read, we're going to learn more about what we need to do, what we need to give up, what we need to change about our lives. We're going to be learning a lot about the rubber hitting the road practically in our lives. What does it mean for us to resemble the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, it means, first of all, that we would no longer resemble the world of unbelievers. And that could be taken of any street in the land. Could have been taken of Harston. We're living in a world of individuals who don't believe God. And we were there. And we need to remember, we were there until the Lord saved us. We were exactly like them. The lives were governed by futile, empty, worthless thinking. Vanity is a word that we read in that passage. Chasing after all that this present life has to offer, and giving no respect and honor to God, the Creator, the one who's the source of our life, every good and perfect gift, to be blind to God, to just be chasing after these things and not giving God the glory and the honor. And such a way of living is vanity, because if we don't give God the honor that he deserves, when our short life comes to an end, we will have to face God's judgment, and there's going to be an enormous reversal in our lives. So that's the first thing that we need to, that we would no longer resemble the world of unbelievers. Why do they live that way? They live that way because they are darkened in their understanding. Secondly, they are separated from the life of God. And thirdly, their hearts are hardened. They have lost all sensitivity to what is right and wrong. And they've given themselves over to sensuality, to indulging in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more and more. And that is the condition. That's an X-ray of the hearts of those who are separated from the life of God, and they're under the power of a nature which is corrupted by sin. Such a way of thinking, such a way of craving, writes Paul, does not lead to a knowledge of God, to an experience of God. And in saying these words, Paul is turning to his hearers, those who were reading this letter, and was saying to them, saying to us, if you're a believer here listening today, you didn't come to know Christ that way, did you? Through going the broad road that was leading to destruction. That's where it's heading. Heading to destruction, broad road. You didn't find Christ by going on that road. Christ had to find us, didn't he? He had to break into our lives. He had to find us in our blindness, in our lostness. That's where we were. And we needed God to reveal himself to us, reveal his truth, and reveal his salvation. And that's what the world needs. They'll continue to walk in that broad road leading to destruction, really. But they need the light of the knowledge of the glory of God seen in the face of Jesus Christ. They need believers to sparkle, to show a different way of living, different attitudes. And they need to hear from our lips as well of our Savior and how that we were saved and we were lost and that God saved us. We were no better than them. We may well have been worse than them, but God saved us. Well, the truth and the salvation that is in Christ Jesus requires us and enables us to live a completely different kind of life. And if we are to live a different kind of life, three things need to happen. First of all, verse 11, we need to put off our old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Secondly, we need to be made new in the attitudes of our minds. We need to have a different way of thinking. And then thirdly, Paul says we need to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The putting off of our old self is not a one-off act, but the continuous action of a lifetime, for the reason that remains of the old nature still remain in our hearts. And that old nature is very much alive and kicking. And it's continually being corrupted by its deceitful desires. It will never be reformed in its way of thinking and desiring. And because of that, we have to continually put off the old self. We have to deliberately choose not to go along its path, not to listen, not to follow its desires and cravings. How important that we recognize what is the wrong voice, what are wrong desires, what are wrong cravings that we shouldn't follow. And it's God's word, isn't it? God's word that reveals to us what is the wrong way of thinking and desiring and craving. It's only God's word that gives us light. It's black and white. It's stark. It tells us straight. And this passage we read this morning is really, really straight to us. It's all black and white in a gray world that we are living in. We should praise God that if you're a believer, that at conversion, God gave us a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. That was what Adam and Eve were adorned in at the beginning. And then sin came in and they were stripped, they were naked. There was that fallen nature they felt. And there was that haunting self-consciousness rather than a God consciousness in their lives. Praise God, he's given us at conversion a new self created to be like God. But for us to resemble Christ in this way, our responsibility is to put on each day. We've all got a new wardrobe. Put on this new self. We are to be governed. We are to live according to this new self, this new nature that God has created us. And Paul then goes on to spell out to us What putting off the old nature and putting on the new nature will mean in our interaction, in our relationships with fellow believers. This is the rubber hitting the road in a positive way. God wants these things to be seen. He wants us to put particular things off and to put particular things on. The first thing we learn is that each of you must put off falsehood, lying, pretense, hypocrisy, and speak truthfully and honestly and sincerely to our neighbor. For says Paul, we are all members of one body. What we say and think and do affects one another. And while we were that old way of living, this old nature, what was it? It was all about looking for number one, trying to impress others. But as believers in the family of God, we should relate in a completely different way. We should be putting Christ and others' needs and interests and well-being before our own. That's radical, isn't it? And secondly, we should be honest and real with each other, speaking the truth in love. And that's challenging, isn't it? But as we do these things, then we shine. Something of God's glory radiates from our lives. So first of all, put off falsehood and speak truthfully, honestly, sincerely. Secondly, in our anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. It's when we nurture things, let them feed and grow, then we give the devil a foothold. And anger is a powerful way that we can give the devil a foothold in our lives. Anger is a legitimate response when someone treats us cruelly or unjustly. However, we're not to allow anger to lead to sin, to lead to hate in our hearts towards the person who has hurt us or provoked us to anger. Nor are we to overflow in destructive speech and actions, telling everyone how we have been wronged, seeking to punish them in some way. That's how the old self reacted. The new self has to react differently, nipping anger in the bud, not allowing it to fester, dealing with it through giving it over to God. Secondly, seeking God's grace to forgive. And thirdly, speaking truthfully to our brother or sister who has sinned against us, telling them that we have been hurt by their words and their actions. And hopefully they respond by sincerely saying, look, I'm sorry. And it leads to a restored relationship. However, if they don't respond rightly, then we have to respond as prescribed in the Bible, Matthew 18. Take one or two others with you so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. And if they refuse to listen to them, then tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. They would incur some kind of church discipline. They would be put out of church membership. And the reason for doing that is to show the individual the seriousness of their sinful attitude and their behavior, which hopefully will lead to repentance and restoration. But it's also to protect the individual sinned against from further hurt. Because if they're continuing to spew out the same narrative and justify what they're doing, and it's going to cause hurt and pain to the individual who's been wronged against. And it's also to protect the well-being and the unity of the church. If the individual is unrepentant, they will try to gain support for their position, and there will be a divisive influence in the fellowship. So we see how necessary a church discipline is for the good of the person who has sinned, good for the good of the person sinned against, and also the wider church family as well. So yes, in your anger, don't sin. Don't give the devil a foothold. But Scripture goes on to give positive ways how we should treat that unhealthy expression of anger. Then verse 28, he who has been stealing must steal no more, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. What an amazing transformation for the person who in their past life had stolen from others as a living. Not only were they to stop stealing, but they had to find honest and respectable work. They had to be willing to share of their earnings with those in need. From living selfishly and dishonestly to living honestly and sacrificially for the benefit of others. And I'm sure that that was the case in the life of Zacchaeus, that corrupt tax collector. When Christ came to his home, he was changed. And instantly, from being on the take, he was on the give. And how generous he was. And that's a wonderful example to us. Scripture is full of that. Transformed individuals. Their lives were useless before. Onesimus, the slave. But now he's valuable. He's come back to the Lord. He's come back to his master. His life is different. Got a new master to serve. There should be a change. The rubber should hit the road in our everyday lives. And then verse 29. Putting off the old nature and putting on the new, it radically transforms our speech as well. It requires us to not permit unhealthy talk to come out of our mouths. Boasting, putting people down, gossiping. Instead, we are to allow out of our mouths only what is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And that's something we should be asking ourselves before we speak. Will this benefit? Will it really be of any benefit to the person, what I'm saying here? The new nature, characterized by love for others, should not seek to promote ourselves, our reputation, our position, but instead meet the needs of others and benefit those who listen. Putting off the old nature, putting on the new nature, it's vitally important for believers, as Micah was challenging us this morning because of who indwells our hearts. Who indwells our hearts? God, the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Sealed means identified as belonging to God, being one of his holy children. And the Holy Spirit's purpose in indwelling us is to oversee this great God's great work of sanctification, us progressively becoming more holy, like Jesus, more loving, more holy, more true, like Jesus. In our present life on this earth, God the Holy Spirit is performing that work. When we arrive in God's presence, he will perfect that work. So remembering that, because of our holy identity and purpose, because of our holy guest indwelling us, if we don't put off the old nature, and if we don't put on the new nature, then we grieve the Holy Spirit. We grieve him, and we quench his working in our lives. How important that we get to know the Holy Spirit more, isn't it? Just imagine if we have grieved him for a long, long time and we're not even aware of it. And maybe there are signs the Holy Spirit is trying to show us in our lives that he's grieved and we're just not switched on to it and we're fighting against it. And the Holy Spirit is working for our good to open our eyes, to lead us to repentance, to a closer relationship with the Lord, and for us to be aligned to God's purpose again and living according to his purpose. Well, in light of the fact that the Holy Spirit indwells us, we are to get rid of decisively, extensively, all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Instead, we're to be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We're to be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Because of the cost required for God to save us, Jesus Christ, God's Son, had to give himself up as a sacrifice to save us. A sacrifice well pleasing to God. Because of our new identity in Christ Jesus, God's dearly loved children, because of God's purpose in saving us, calling us, indwelling us through his Spirit, the bar is raised very high for us as believers. God has got a high calling, a high requirement for our lives. Just to sum it up, we have to get rid of every manifestation of the old nature. We have to love and forgive one another to the same measure as God was prepared in Christ to forgive and love us. And we have to live a life of love like Jesus Christ. What a high calling, what a high bar God has raised for us. But as we do so, as we seek to live it, what do? It takes us back to the beginning, doesn't it? We exist for the praise of God's glory. We sparkle, do we? We sparkle. Praise comes from our lips. But also thankful hearts to the Lord. Praise from our hearts. Love and devotion, that scene, that's, we sparkle, we shine. We fulfill the good works God has prepared in advance for us to do, because we're doing them. Our actions have changed. Our way of living. And we make known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms the multi-splendored wisdom of God. As you look down on this earth, they see God's glory from this dark canvas. This unbelieving world. Satan and his forces doing their utmost to keep unbelievers in darkness, ignorant, blinded, manifesting the fruit of darkness. There's that glory, there's the light and radiance of the glory of Christ seen in the lives of his people. And as we do, God is glorified. God is praised, because it's to God deserves all the praise and the glory, isn't it? He took us off that broad road leading to destruction, led us into this narrow way. Jesus is the way. He's the truth and the life. He's the way, the truth and the life, all the way to glory. And through his Spirit and through his Word and with our Christian companions, together we can glorify God, and we can draw others. We can influence others. God can use us to bring them off the broad road into the narrow way, just like us. What a wonderful calling we have.